Hey everybody, it's Wednesday again, and guess what? It's a different kind of Wednesday, Tim Peel, because it's hockey season. It has started officially over the weekend, but here on the mainland of North America in the National Hockey League, it is hockey season 25-26, which means it's another episode of Snipes and Stripes right here on NoFilter.net. I'm so excited, Tim. Are you excited that the season started again? Because it was getting a little boring watching baseball all the time.
It was, although the baseball's been good. Listen, that Padres Dodgers series,
wow.
There's some animosity there. I'm gonna watch that. I think they're playing again tonight, but no, I'm ready.
There's a lot of animosity all over the place. I think we'll get to a lot of animosity as the night goes along. But I am in San Diego, as you know. This town is hopping right now. Everywhere you go, every store, every restaurant, every establishment, everybody's talking about the Padres, because if they can knock off the Dodgers, who are their arch nemesis and their rival, it'll be pandemonium here in San Diego.
Oh my goodness, it would be. It's David and Goliath with the payrolls and everything else. And you know who your manager is, Mike Schilt? Guess where he came from? He wasn't good enough for the St. Louis Cardinals. They fired him here, and he went to San Diego.
And listen, if you can't make the playoffs in another team, get somebody from the Cardinals and bring on that pedigree. That's gonna happen, right? Right? That's a good smart move.
Exactly.
It's a good smart move. Well, listen, this is I just loved, again, leading up to watching hockey games. I was shocked yesterday. And I thought this was a great move by the National Hockey League. Maybe you don't, but I was walking through the casino in Vegas yesterday because I was in Vegas for my daughter's birthday. And I look on the screen and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 1:30 in the afternoon, and there's a hockey game going on. I'm sitting here saying, is the NHL Network replaying an exhibition game or something? But no, we had St. Louis and Seattle playing in their first game, which was on a Tuesday afternoon. I thought that was brilliant by the National Hockey League to put on a game in the afternoon.
Yeah, you know what? I agree, JR. There were only three games last night. They staggered all three of them, so I was fortunate enough to watch them all. And people were like, it's Seattle. Are people going to go to the game? I'm like, it's the home opener. It's like in San Diego, I'm sure, for baseball. It's in St. Louis when it's a home opener. It's a 12 o'clock start. People take off work. So I thought it was a great idea for the opening night, stagger the games. And our buddy Ray Ferraro, he called the first game in Seattle and then hopped on a little PJ and went over. Went to Seattle and then hopped on a little PJ and did a doubleheader. So good for him.
National Hockey League's doing okay.
TNT.
TNT or ESPN, they're doing pretty good flying guys on PJs. I don't remember when I used to work for a network, they were flying anybody on PJs. That's a little bit different. But anyway, this we got to thank our sponsors, Whiskey in the Wild, my chocolate whiskey. Love it to death. Be sure to go on whiskeyinthewild.com, order your Whiskey in the Wild chocolate orange. It will be delivered right to your door. And let me tell you something, it's the best experience you'll ever had. Whiskeyinthewild.com. Go grab it.
Well, listen, we got to also give a shout out to Protected Neck Guards and also to BetOnline. BetOnline is the world's number most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during the games. Think you know your stuff? Get in on our 200,000 mega contest and pick five games against the spread every week for your chance at winning weekly prizes and a share of $200,000. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Bet online. The game starts here. You placed a little bet yesterday, you said, when you were in Vegas.
I did. So I just told you earlier in the show, I was in Vegas, and we're getting ready to go out for dinner. And I said to my wife, I said, just give me a second. I got to go place a bet on the hockey game. And she goes, bet on a hockey game? What game are you betting on? I said, well, Chicago is at Utah. It's Utah's first game in Utah. It's their franchise opener. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of excitement. And, you know, the players are playing at home in their first big league situation where they're playing in front of a lot of home fans. I'm sure the energy and electricity and the feeling of the Utah Hockey Club must have been awesome. Now, I went to the game on Friday in Chicago, for the Chicago Blackhawks, they played the Minnesota Wild on Friday in their last exhibition game. It might have been one of the worst hockey games I've ever seen a team play. I love the Chicago Blackhawks with a passion. I want them to win. They are near and dear to my heart. But I got to be honest, when I see terrible hockey,
Right.
Bedard was awful. Bertuzzi was awful. Hall looked like he was 20 pounds overweight. I couldn't believe the sloppiness. It was the worst power play I've ever seen. And granted, I know it's preseason. You don't put
Right.
anything in the preseason. They probably nobody wanted to get hurt right before the season. I get it. But still, this is how bad it was. I don't care if you, how bad preseason is. This was bad preseason. So I'm
Yeah.
sitting here last night in Vegas with a sports book right next to me at the Aria, and I said, you know what? Utah is going to be flying high. They have a good team, big
Yep.
team. They hit hard. They got fast. They got good offense. Their defense has improved. Their goaltending is good. Chicago didn't look good to me. So I am going to make a bet. I'm not going to bet with my heart. I'm going to bet with my head. So I go in to make a bet on Utah. And by the way, they're both my old teams. I was a Coyote. I was with that team and out of Chicago. So, but anyway, I walk in and I'm waiting in line. And a couple of guys are in the sports book and they see me standing in line. So they're like, hey, JR, what's up? You know, congratulations. You know, what's up? About four or five guys. What's up, JR? What's going on? Congratulations. I'm like, thanks, guys. They're like, you putting a bet in? I'm like, yeah. They go, hockey? I went, yeah. They went, who are you betting? And I went, Lane Farm down on Utah against Chicago. They went, you're going against your old team? I'm like, well, they're both my old teams, but I have to go against one of them. And I listen, I'm going with my brains, not my heart.
Right.
And they're like, why do you say that? And I went through what I just said to you.
Sure.
As soon as I said that, I go to the window, put my money down on Utah. What happens? All five of the guys get up and go up and get in line at the desk. I don't even know how much they bet, but they all came in behind me and followed me with that bet. And,
That's awesome.
but I will say this, the Blackhawks played pretty well last night. They worked hard. I thought the lines that Richardson put together worked very well.
Yep.
They had some sustained pressure. They didn't start well. And this is something that this team has to make sure that they clean up if they want to have any chance of winning hockey games this season, is they have to be ready to start on time. They have to be ready to start at 7 o'clock. They can't wait for 15 minutes into the first period because just like last night, they're going to find themselves down two goals and having to fight back. They were not prepared to start that game. And I'm sure that, you know, the energy in the building might have intimidated them a little bit or whatever. But they came on really strong at the end. They hit a couple of posts. It could have easily been 3-3 and gone into overtime. But, you know, two empty netters made the game look a little bit further than the score
Right.
indicated. It was a good hockey game. So good for the Blackhawks to have at least a game where they competed and they had a chance to really get back in it and win it. But, I still won my bet, which I was very happy about.
That was a smart bet. You
Even
know
more
what?
so, five other guys enjoyed their winnings too
It
afterwards, which is good.
too bad you didn't run into them later. They might have been buying you drinks or dinner, but you know what? I watched that game. I reffed a game in Salt Lake. They used to have a team in the old International Hockey League. And when I was working my way up, I worked a game there. And it's a beautiful city. And I'm looking at Ryan Smith last night. And I need to bring up, you know, he's the owner of the
What did
Utah
that
Hockey
guy
Club.
do? What did
What's
that guy
that?
do? Who did that guy? What?
Tech World.
Of course,
And
somebody that young has to be in
unbelievable.
tech, right?
And I get a kick out of him. He's got his hat on backwards. He's got a hoodie. And I'm like, this is my new favorite owner. Like, this guy
I thought it was
is,
awesome, by the way.
he's so cool. And you know what he did that I loved? And I don't know whether he made him or, you know, whether he just said, hey, would you guys do this? Every player from the Utah Jazz went to that game last night. And
Really?
I'm listening to him talk last night with the ESPN guys, And it seems like he really is wants to build a culture in which it sounds like he's built a culture with the NBA team. Is he it's all about family with this guy. He wants to build a family. And I was watching an interview with Clayton Keller earlier today, and he's like, anything we need, they've been whatever, it just they've laid out the red carpet. Whatever you guys need, we are here for you guys. And I think this guy, he is the Mark Cuban that can't, maybe not as brash, but that young owner that comes into the league that maybe a lot of the senior guys like Jeremy Jacobs and so on don't really like. But that's the new way of the NHL. We have younger
Well,
talent.
they can relate, right?
They can
They're
relate.
closer in age. They can relate. It's the times. It's, you know, the technology. It's the
Social media,
game.
exactly, everything. So I'm excited. I love the colors. I love the colors. My wife and my son asked me last night, they're like, is that their name? I'm like, well, it is for this year. And they're like, well, how come they don't have a name yet? I said, because they're going to sell a shit ton of jerseys this year. And then next year, when they come out with the Utah Yeti, whoever it's going to be, they're going to sell a bunch more again. So I think business-wise, it was a smart move for them. And I read an article a couple weeks ago about guys that played in the minor leagues in Salt Lake City. And to a man, they all said it was one of the best experiences they ever had.
Well, it is a beautiful city. I mean, there's no question about that. It's growing in popularity. But all in all, it really comes down to the ownership, right? How passionate and how supportive the
Gotta
owner.
have good
And
owners.
I'm with you. You know, Ryan Smith really impressed me a lot last night. You know, I think that those players in that locker room are going to respond. You know, I always loved it when the owners came around and engaged themselves with the team, showed that they cared, asked questions.
Right.
You know, they build a rapport with the players. You want to play hard for a guy like that, right? You want to play hard. And you know, I've been on teams where you never saw the owners. You know, you never saw them, and you know, you questioned whether they knew who you were sometimes. So, that being said, good for Utah. You know, good for Chicago playing well too. But Utah's off and running on a good start back home. And I know thinking they go on
And
the road now for a little while, but it was fun to watch.
listen, you and I have talked about, we talked about it last week, we talked about it last season. We like the makeup of this team with, Dylan Gunther scored the first goal. He just signed a nice five or
Yeah, he scored
six
an empty net too. He scored two last night. That's pretty good.
scored the first goal in Utah hockey club history. Clayton Keller scored. We've talked about Logan Cooley, their back end with Durzi and other guys. This is a team that I think will battle for the playoffs this year, so it's going to be exciting. But listen, before we get into any other topics, just very quickly, we do need to send out, because you and I have both spent a lot of time in Tampa, and we have to send our thoughts and prayers to the people in Florida right now. It might be one of the most catastrophic hurricanes that's ever hit Florida. They're saying it's a Cat 5 that's going to hit tonight in Tampa. You and I spent a lot of time in that downtown area there,
Sure has.
and
Sure has.
I'm, Don Koharski, the ex-referee, he lives there now. Jamie Koharski, his son Liz works for the Lightning. Liz is with the team. They've taken all their workers with them on the road. Jamie and his daughter went to Georgia. Like, people are getting out of Dodge there. This could be really catastrophic. So.
There's no question. There's no question. We hope everybody's okay. And Nick, our boy Nick here on the chat line, he's down there battling it. So Nick, just make sure you stay safe, get someplace that's secure, and then be smart. There's no question what Vinnick's been able to do there in Tampa, what he's built. He's put in so much money and effort and time into that city. The Tampa Bay Lightning have. Now listen, I ripped Tampa Bay a couple of weeks ago because of the Stamkos thing. I said
Yeah, you did.
I'm not a Tampa fan anymore. But that has nothing to do with having people having to be safe, that city be safe. It's a great city, great fans, and we pray for everybody to make sure that everything turns out okay, because we never like to see any storms like this for anybody. But
Well,
it's gonna put a big hamper on Tampa Bay's start too, with the fan base, with the
yeah, it
team
is.
being there. So let's hope great things. So great way to start there,
Well,
PLC.
Jeff Vinnick's going to be okay. I think he bought the team 10 or 12 years ago for $175 million, and one of the reasons that he bought it was for the development around the area. And the sale hasn't been approved yet, but he just sold it for 1.8 billion. So, quite a return on your investment, Mr. Vinnick.
Yeah,
So,
well, he deserves it. He's put a lot of time,
yes,
a
he
lot of money.
has. Do you know, just one last thing on him. Do you know during the COVID year when we didn't have hockey for months, he has this at every home game, he donates $50,000 to hometown heroes. Could be a firefighter, could be a paramedic, could be, and he continued to give that money out even when they were not playing hockey. So shout out to Mr. Vinnick. He's been a tremendous owner. One thing I want to talk about is the Seattle Kraken. We're at home last night to the Blues. I love the Seattle Kraken. I love their uniforms. I love those home uniforms, the dark blue or black it is. But there was a lady, Jessica Campbell, that made history last night as the first female assistant coach. It probably is time in 2024, if she's qualified, which obviously she is. It might have not have worked so well when you were playing back in the 90s and early 2000s, but just give me your thought on that.
Well, I think you know what I feel about women's hockey and women involved in hockey. I think it's fantastic. They have a totally different way of looking at the game. By the way, you can arguably say they're smarter. They notice a lot more. They are more strategic in the way that they will coach, what they see, the way that they deal with players. I love it. I think, especially as in a coaching aspect, obviously. As a player, having a woman play in the National Hockey League is a far-fetched. It's very hard because of the physical stature and the ability, which is why I'm so happy that they have the Women's Pro League, the PWHL, which is awesome. And I hope that continues to thrive so that women have their platform. But by no means can we not have a woman behind the bench watching, seeing. They see things that we don't see. They see the
Right.
game differently. They can be just as smart and can coach just as well. So for me, I love that those borders are being broken, that those barriers are being broken and allow that to come in. I think it's going to give a lot of young women the image and the dream to do the same thing. Yeah, I don't like the fact that it's only for men, all men, all men. I mean, that's BS. It's good for her. Good for Seattle, and Seattle's done the same with with other females in the game, with Cammy Granato and stuff
Right.
like that. So,
Well, you have men coaching women's hockey teams. You have men coaching women's basketball teams. Jean Ariamo is one of the mo you know one of the most famous women's basketball coaches ever. So I don't have a problem. I tweeted it out at
You're gonna see
congratulating her.
more and more. You're gonna
I
see more and more,
agree.
Tim. You're gonna see more and more.
I tweeted out congratulating her, and I said, when is the time that a woman is going to make the NHL as an official? And I
Oh, that's coming quick.
there's a few women that are in the NHL right now. Mantha, the player, big guy that plays for Washington. His sister is a referee in the American Hockey League, and a bunch of people were like, "Yeah, and other people were giving me shit on social media." And one guy goes, "Well, who's going to break up the fights?" And I'm like, "What fights? What fights?"
Yeah, if any time they can do it, now is the time.
Now's
Early,
the time to do
maybe
it.
maybe in the early 90s,
Right.
a little bit harder, but
Right. Right.
yeah.
But I think it'll listen, you have women referees in the NBA, in Major League Baseball, and in NFL.
Yeah.
So it's
So
time
Rocket
to
Reese says Elizabeth Mantha is her name.
Elizabeth, that's right.
Anthony Mantha's brother. No, that's great. I love it. So again, good for them. Seattle did not start off on the right foot. You have Jordan Kyrou had a really big game yesterday, 2 goals, a good start for him. He's a talented hockey player, so it was a good way to start.
You know
But
what?
the fun one. Go ahead, you want to say something?
Broberg,
Broberg scored his first game. Yep, that's
the offer
yep.
sheet guy, he scored in his first game,
That's great. It's great. It's a good start for him.
and then Binnington. Listen, a lot of people throughout the NHL, other fans outside of St. Louis, they don't like Jordan Binnington because of his antics when he first came in the league. He really toned it down last year. But Jordan Binnington, for all our Canadian listeners, will probably be the starter in the Four Nations Cup. He'll probably be the starter for the Olympic team unless something drastically changes. This guy is a gamer, and he's the reason the Blues are wearing have a Stanley Cup banner at the Enterprise Center here in St. Louis, because he won Game 7 by himself in Boston in 2019. Binnington played unbelievable. If you know what, if Kyrou can have the year that he should have, their defense has improved. They've got some good young talent. Then they got that Holloway and Broberg they got from Edmonton. St. Louis is a team that it's not sexy, JR, but they should battle for a playoff spot this year.
Listen, it all comes down to work, grind, determination. Hard work will beat talent 7 days a week when talent doesn't want to work. So it's just going to go. We're going to see what kind of team they built, what kind of chemistry, what kind of system, what kind of image that they're going to portray. So that's, and you talked about goaltenders. Goaltenders are making bank right now.
Woo, baby.
Holy smoke, it is goaltender alley right now. Look at all the signings. Jeremy Swayman just signed a huge deal. Good for him. Ullmark, his counterpart, signed a big deal. I thought it kind of funny. Ullmark signed the same amount of money, but 4 years less. He
Yeah.
signed for 4 years, where Swayman signed for 8. You think Ullmark wants to stay in Ottawa very much? Or he just wants to see
You
what
know
happens
what?
there to re-sign?
It's a great question. First of all, Swayman signed for 8 times 8.25, and Ullmark was 4 times 8.25. It's very ironic that they're both best buddies, love each other, and they both signed for the exact same amount. If I'm Jeremy Swayman, I'm taking that 8 years because I know Boston is a
Yeah, but
contender.
what was different? What were they offering him throughout all of camp?
I think it was eight times.
It was 8 times 8. Didn't
Well, it wasn't
Neely
eight
say I got
times eight. It was a
64?
little less than that.
Didn't Cam Neely say I have 64 reasons why I should be playing?
But the rumor, the internet rumors were it was actually 62.5 million. So they upped it by a couple million and got him signed. But if I'm
I
Linus.
just think Swayman didn't want to go through camp. I think he didn't want to play in preseason.
Yeah.
I don't want to go. I'll sign when the season starts. I don't want to go through camp. Yeah, screw that.
Well, you know what? He should have held out until one game after the regular season, because poor Corpusalo got lit up last night in Florida. But if
I'm
I'm
telling you
all.
what. I'm telling you what. That rivalry, because of playoffs, the last 2 years, is turning out to be one heck of a heated rivalry.
Buddy, they don't like each other.
Now, well, listen, when you meet each other in the playoffs in back-to-back years, and it turns out the way that it did in both. I mean, Boston's not too happy with Florida, by the way, and Florida, they don't give a shit about anything. They're going to play the same, and they're going to play run and gun in your face, hard-nosed hockey all the time. And last night was no different. That was an unbelievably physical brand of hockey for a opener that I've
For the
seen in a
first
long
game of
time.
the year, right?
It was amazing.
Well, you got Sam Bennett that knocked out Marchand last year.
And yeah, and he did it, and he almost knocked out Corpusalo last night, which was awesome.
He runs into Corpusalo. You've got Brady or Matthew Tkachuk that fought Pastrnak last year in the playoffs. Okay, and friends of mine, Trent Frederick, I'm good friends with his dad. He lives here in St. Louis, and Trent was drafted in the first round a couple of years ago in the Brady Tkachuk draft year and Joseph Woll draft year. I don't think Trent Frederick and Matthew Tkachuk are friends, even though they live here in St. Louis, because Trent went up to Matthew last night and Trent said after the game, Matthew said, yeah, let's go, and didn't drop his gloves. And Trent was upset by that. He wound up getting an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And I think he wants a piece of Matthew for him taking a run at Pasternak this year. These two teams do not like each other. And what Boston did is they went big on their back end. They went, and I'm going to read off the size of their back end. Brandon Carlo, 6'5". Hampus Lindholm, 6'4". Mason Lowry, 6'5". Charlie McAvoy, their smallest guy, at 6'1". Nikita Zadorov, 6'6". This team is beefed up on the back end. And I like that, because if you look at the 2019 Blues and when Vegas won the cup, their smallest defenseman was Alex Martinez.
I agree with you too, but that defense was mobile. I mean, you know, Petrangelo was mobile. Even though the big C, he was pretty mobile for a big guy. I don't know. Obviously, Boston has had some small guys, small defensemen. Big is not always so much better. If they can't get up into play, if they can't get to that puck and move it quick. I mean, they're not terrible skaters, but I don't know. Is it good to be that big in this day and age? Do you need to be that big? Is it going to be popular? Is it going to be beneficial? Is it going to be intimidating to the other teams? I don't know. It could be a detriment to them that they got Big D like that.
Yeah, I disagree. I think you need Big D in this league. You need Big D because when you have small D and short sticks, it's easy to come down the middle. When the Blues won the Cup, their smallest defenseman was Gunnarsson at 6'2". You had Petro. You had Parenko. You had Jay Bouwmeester. These guys are all 6'3", 6'4", 6'5". When you're big and you have a long stick, you can keep them on to the outside. We saw that when Vegas won the Cup. You could not get down the middle with big defensemen. Yes, you're right. They can't be slow as well, but all these guys can skate these days, JR. And I just think it's...
Well, it didn't help them last night. They looked pretty slow, and Florida pretty much picked them apart a lot of the night last night and allowed Florida some pretty high chance situations and high velocity scoring opportunities, which they scored 6 goals. It was 6-4. It wasn't that close. I thought Florida pretty much took advantage of Boston from the start, which surprised me a little bit too, because they had the banner raising, which is obviously a big deal. The place was on fire. It's really hard to come out and play a good game when you're celebrating the banner going up. You're sitting out there on the ice for a while. Your legs get heavy, but Florida looks good, man. I'll tell you that
they're deep.
And Verhaeghe signed. So Verhaeghe signed a nice little ticket, $7 mil a year
for 7 years.
Yeah,
you know, this is a guy that was drafted in the third round in 2013 by Toronto. Got traded to the Islanders, then got picked up and then got traded to Tampa. You forget that he was on all these teams. It's really unbelievable. And then signed as a free agent to Florida. So really three teams didn't want this guy. Yep. And as you and I were talking earlier today, the guy led them last year. What do you have, 11 goals last year in the playoffs?
Yeah, 11 guy goals like this. Well, if you look at this team, right, if you're the GM down there has done a really good job, because if you look at the way this team is made up now, they have their core players, their top six or seven players, all locked up until almost 2031, 2032.
Reinhardt, Tkachuk, Barkov,
exactly. Verhaeghe. I mean, you go right down the line. They are built for a long time and that's hard to do in this game these days, to have that many good players signed up for that long of a time. And you could just piece in all the intangibles around them. And they showed it again last night. I mean, they looked really good. Sam Bennett, I think, is taking another level, another step higher. I used to look at him as a guy that was in your face, an antagonist, a guy that can, get under your skin, a guy that will battle and hit you and be that energy guy. This guy wants to score now. Every time he gets the puck, he's looking to shoot. He's going to the high
Right.
traffic areas. He could have had four last night if you watched this kid play.
Yeah, they're built. They've got a great team. Well coached, good goaltending. We saw it last year. Good defense. They lost Brandon Montour this year. But you know what? It'll be listen, it's tough to repeat in this league. Short summer, right? A lot going on. But they're off to a good start, so it's going to be
So
interesting.
I have a question for you since you're the ref. Obviously, it was a mistake last night. I think it was a Jones for Boston. He's sitting there, they're having a jousting. Obviously,
Oh, yeah.
the Florida stick was up on his neck. He goes to whack it out, and literally, I mean, he just missed the referee's face and just clocked him across the shoulder with
Across the
that stick.
forearm, across the
Yeah,
arm.
yeah.
That had to hurt, man.
It
Like that.
had to hurt. But I mean, it looked really bad. I mean, we know he didn't mean to do
Right.
it. But what's the call now? I know they gave him 2 minutes, but
Yeah, they gave him two for unsportsmanlike conduct, and that's the right call. Listen,
yeah.
it's not a 2-10 or game or anything. He didn't mean to hit the linesman,
But that's
and
nothing. There's nothing that the league would look at. Everybody knows.
no, it was completely accidental. And
Did you see his face when he did it?
what's
Did you see his
that?
face? Did you see
Yeah.
his face when he did it?
Oh yeah.
It
Oh
was like, oh my gosh, I just like hit my mom. Oh
I
my God.
know.
It was like, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble. Listen, I love the way that the players think of the referees and the respect. And nobody wants anything like that to happen, but sometimes it does. And it looked bad last night, but I'm glad it came about it.
We talked about the goaltender Swayman and Allmark. Joey Decord, Seattle goalie, just signed 5x5. But the big news coming out of NYC today, out of New York, is, and they're wondering who leaked it. Did the team leak it? Did the agent leak it? And the story is that Igor Shesterkin turned down an 8x$11 million contract. I find that hard to believe that he would turn down that much money, but as you know, that's a shitload of money to pay a goalie, buddy.
Well, Keenan said that Steve Weeks reported it. And let me tell you something.
Kevin Weeks.
Kevin Weeks, sorry, Kevin Weeks. If Kevin Weeks reported it, it's probably true because
Probably
that guy,
pretty accurate, right?
yeah, there's no question. And I'm telling you what, if Kevin Weeks reported it definitely came from inside the New York Rangers office because that guy knows everybody and he's found a way into all the GMs, he's found his way into all the offices of the National Hockey League and different teams. Let me tell you something. If this is true, I am not a Shesterkin fan at all. This
Ooh.
is we're getting into the territory where I think there are a lot of people in the National Hockey League, especially in management, that don't feel goaltenders should make that type of money. Now, do I agree? It's getting a little high for me. They are the most important position in the game. Arguably, I do. I think they are.
Sure.
You can't win without a great
No.
goaltender.
You need a good quarterback in football. You need it
Yeah.
right.
Well, I mean, so I can sit here and say, who's more important to their team, Shesterkin or Draisaitl? I would sit here and say Shesterkin's more important to the New York Rangers, where you have Draisaitl is making 14. Now, granted, he does have McDavid on the team. He has other players, but Shesterkin is a special goaltender. 11 million, that would make him the highest paid goaltender of all time.
All
And you
time.
say no? How much money do you need, bro?
I know.
How much money do you need? This guy is from Russia. Isn't he from Russia?
Yeah.
Isn't
Yeah.
he? Are you kidding me? You can go back to Russia and live the rest of your life in mansions and then drink Cristal for the rest of your life.
That's 99 million, dude. 99 million, like,
what
or
in
88
all
million, whatever
hell?
It is.
What
right?
In what in the Sam hell is Shesterkin thinking? What's he trying to do? I don't understand. Is he trying to get more money so that he can, you know, so he can live another lifetime?
I don't know.
Maybe that's a bad way to put it, but dude, come on. You're becoming the highest paid goaltender of all time, and you say no to 8 years, 11 million. That's greed. I don't care how you want to cut it. To me, it's greed.
I agree.
Well, who's he bargaining himself against? If they're offering the highest paid goaltender of all time,
right?
So what is his bargaining tool for why he should get more? He can't save by another goalie. And by the way, there's another goaltender that was down in Tampa, and Vasilevsky, that didn't make that much money. He won a couple cups. Shesterkin doesn't want shit. Right?
I agree.
Either he's really dumb or his agent is really dumb.
Well, the agents are greedy. We know that. The agents always think their players should get more. And listen,
yeah, because they get a percentage of their salary,
and,
of course.
Right. And that's their job, to get the best deal and so on. But
that's not the best deal.
But if the rumors are true that he turned down 8 times 11, I don't know. Like, he's going to piss off a lot of Ranger fans. Those New Yorkers are going to be like, are you kidding me? We're struggling to buy groceries and cereal and so on for our kids, and you're turning down 11 million bucks a year.
Our team on the chat line said, Alan Walsh will never watch the show again. Alan Walsh, really? Like,
he's
really,
a loud mouth.
We really care what Alan.
Yeah.
Now I know. By the way, now I know why he turned
out. Alan Walsh is his lawyer, and thank you to whoever said that. Is Alan Walsh is the, I know a lot of agents. You and I both know a lot of agents. Donnie Meehan, one of the most respected agents. J.P. Barry, different guys. The French guy, son plays hockey.
Oh, Brisson.
Pat Brisson.
Pat Brisson.
A lot of good guys. Alan Walsh, he loves to hear himself talk, okay?
He thinks he's always right. He thinks he's the God's gift.
He does.
Hockey agents.
He does.
He has yelled at me for years. He has called me all sorts of names for years. But now I know exactly why Shesterkin turned down 11 million, because he's got a person like Alan Walsh telling him not to take it. That is the worst advice that a player can get right there.
Listen, he
God, that's terrible representation.
Alan Walsh,
what are you doing? Get a new agent.
Alan Walsh, all he does is shit on the league. All he does is shit on the league. And from a guy that's earning his living from the league, I've never understood that. We could go on here and be negative all the time about this and that and how your career ended and that broadcasting of mine. No, those are – listen, but we earned a living from the National Hockey League. Everything we have, a lot of what we have, is because of the National Hockey League. I'm not going to sit here and shit on the NHL. He shits on the NHL all the time.
Yeah, he was a big NHL PA guy, right, because he's an agent. He ripped me because I was the one in 2004 that said, you know what? Maybe we can get by with a salary cap, but it's got to be, you know, it's got to be a limited cap, right? It's got to be a small cap, right? And I actually talked to a lot of players that agreed with me, right? Soft cap, we can probably deal with it. And by the way, was I right? Yes, yep. I'm right, because look what the players are getting. Everybody's getting more money. Money's going up. So exactly. I was right, but Alan Walsh turned around and just absolutely ripped me, said that I was the Benedict Arnold, and I turned against NHLPA. You know what I tried to do? I tried to save a hockey season, because we had awful representation with the NHLPA in 2004, and Walsh was one of them. So
wasn't Prongs on your side too? Didn't Prongs think that the lockout should end?
I had Aginla was on my side. Doan was on my side. You know, some of the top guys in the league told me, yeah, I would play with a soft cap. Sure, we should do a soft cap. And then when I said it in the middle of the meeting in front of 300 players, very few had the balls to stand up and say something, because here, I have Bob Goodnow and Ian Pulver say, "No, nobody wants a cap, period. We're never going to have one. We're never going to have one." Well, guess what? You're battling against billionaires. You're battling against 31, or at the time, 30 owners that are rich for a reason, and it's their teams. Guess who's probably going to win?
Well,
The owners.
I
And you
think
know what? They literally looked at me and said, "Nobody's saying that." I'm like, "You're calling me a liar?" I said, so Alan Walsh gave me so much crap, and he still does. And this is why he hates me, which is fine, because I don't like him whatsoever. And now he's trying to ruin the game now by having a player like Shesterkin and tell him not to take an 11-year, $11 million contract. What bad representation that is.
Well, I think I remember the numbers pretty accurately, and I think the numbers I know when we eventually came back to work, the lockout, the salary cap was 39 million, but back in January, back in October of the previous year, when we were out, I think they had offered 56 or 60 million, and you guys had turned it down, and eventually you guys came back and it was 39 million.
Guess what? You know what the crazy thing is? What happened that year is Goodnow and Pulver said, "We will never agree to a salary cap. Never." Right? So we lost the whole season. And they said, "We never will." What happened in the summer? Not only did we agree to a salary cap, but we also agreed to give back part of the money. We agreed to give them money back. So everybody lost even more money, like re really. And they're yelling at me for being the Benedict Arnold of the league because I said we could play with a soft cap. I mean, this is the stupidity of the people that were representing us. I mean, I couldn't
Bad,
believe it. It
bad,
was it was
bad.
it was the worst deal that the Players Association has ever negotiated.
Bad leadership. You know what? It's to your point, millionaire players are never going to win the battle over billionaire
Oh, by
owners.
the way, yeah, okay, we'll play with soft cap. By the way, we'll give back some of the money too. We'll give you back some of the money. What? It's just like, wow. And
Well,
we lost a year's salary. I mean,
yeah,
it's
that year we weren't getting paid either, the referees, and I had many different jobs to try to make ends meet, because we the referees, I back then I was, you're talking 2004, I was probably making 250 a year, and I wasn't making millions like the players, and all of a sudden now we're not getting paid. And I remember, I don't know if I
By
ever.
the way, we got to be very careful because Alan Walsh might not be Shesterkin's agent. He might not be. He might not. Okay? I'm not. By the way, I've loved ripping on Alan Walsh. So regardless of whether he is or not, it's been a lot of fun. But either way.
Well, look it up. Tell one of ask one of our listeners there to look it up.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Tim, look up and see who Shesterkin's agent is, and put it on the chat line because, hey, listen, I'm really happy that Alan Walsh came up because it was fun. But we'll find the right one
Well, I
here.
got to tell you this funny story. So we're not getting paid. The refs aren't getting paid. And I get a call one day from Twister, Tony Twist. I don't know if I ever told you this story. And he owned a bar out in the suburbs of St. Louis, a place called Arnold, blue collar town. And he owned this biker bar. And he calls me up and he says, "Hey, Peelsy, I know you're not getting paid, and you're not working." He goes, "I want you to come work for me on the weekends." And I go, "Twister, I go, I've never bartended in my life. Like, I don't know how to make drinks." Like, he goes, No, I want you to bounce for me. I want you to be my bouncer." I go, "I swear to God," I go, "have you looked at me?" I go, "I'm 5'9. I've got a pretty little face. I go, I like my hair. I go, I'm not, I said, they'll kick the shit out of me at your bar." He goes, "You'll be fine. You'll be fine." So every week I'd work there on a Friday and Saturday. He'd throw me a couple hundred bucks. And
That's
I'd grow a beard. I'd wear a leather coat with a ball cap,
you try to look as intimidating as you possibly could, huh? I can't believe you can even grow a beard. Hey, it was interesting. I've tonight is night two here in North America. with Toronto and Montreal. I always love watching Toronto start seasons
They're
because
gonna
it's a
lose.
new start for Toronto Maple Leafs fans, right? It's like, this year's the year. This year we're gonna get it done. We're gonna win the cup this year. This is awesome. And they lose either to Ottawa or Montreal. It's like clockwork. They come out in the first game of the season and they just lay an egg. So tonight they're minus 195 against Montreal in
Well,
Montreal. I was sitting here saying, if I had a bookie, if I bet through a bookie, I would have definitely, or I should have gone to Bet Online and I should have put some on Montreal, just a little bit on Montreal, because Toronto always finds a way to lose.
they do, and you're absolutely right. We every year it seems like it happens, and we should have done it again today because Cole Caulfield scored in the first period. It's 1-0 Montreal right now,
Here it comes again. By the way,
and
you know all those Toronto Maple Leafs fans are like, "Oh my God, here we go again!" After the first goal of the season, right?
well, he scored on Anthony Stolarz, and I want to get your opinion on this. Toronto's goaltending tandem this year is Anthony Stolarz, he's a good goalie, and Joseph Woll, Woll. He's a St. Louis kid. I mentioned earlier he was drafted in the third and the first round the same year as Trent Frederick and Brady Tkachuk. And but he's considered their number one guy, but he's kind of unproven and still young, and he's injury prone as well. Does that concern you as a Toronto Maple Leaf fan going into the season that these are your starting goalies?
100%. It's, and by the way, this is, and shame on them for not addressing it in the offseason. That was one of their issues last year and the year before. I mean, how can you go through 2 or 3 years of one of the major teams in the league, being, by the way, one of the most profitable teams in the league, being one of the most, the highest, maybe the most watched, the most critiqued team in the league, and not have a goaltender for 3 years, one that you can rely on? Like, you're going into the season with Stolarz as your guy. This is terrible, terrible off-season management. You saw what Ottawa did. Ottawa needed somebody. What'd they do? They went out and got Ullmark. New Jersey needed somebody. What'd they do? They went out and got Markstrom, right?
Exactly.
This is what good teams do. They find a way to get their most important player secure. And Toronto hasn't been able to do that. And by the way, we might be talking about this again come March, when if they're battling for a playoff spot, because they didn't address the biggest concerns that they had in the offseason.
I agree. I agree. I listen, you and I are huge Craig Berube fans. Like, I love the guy. But at the end of the day, you can only do so much with the talent you're given. And I talked about, and I don't think it's as big a concern with you as it is for me, because I really think it is a concern for me. When come playoff time, their defense, 6-4, 6-2, 6-1, 6-1, 6-1, 6-1, 6-3. Tanev's the big, kind of the biggest guy at 6-3. Simon Benoit, who I really like, he's got an edge to him. He's 6-4. I don't know if their defense is physical enough to win in the playoffs. I think they're better with Chris Tanev on the back end, because that guy, as you and I
That
both
guy's
know,
money. That guy's money.
he'll block shots with his face.
He's money. That guy is just all energy. He's all grit, all energy. That guy's pure class, man.
But it's, I don't know. People, I think, expect Chief to come in there and just change things and change the mindset and the mentality. And now they're going to be a grinding team, like when he won a cup with the Blues and they banged it. That's not the makeup of that team. Like, that is, you can't just all of a sudden get players to start playing a different way just because, you know, if they've
Well,
played it.
it's, again, you can,
But it takes time. It
all
takes
in
time.
all, yeah, but you can get a team to play the way they want to. But if you have a breakdown in the most important part and you have a bad goal goes in and your team is playing great, all of a sudden you have a mental letdown. You have a total team that just gets, the called, the goal busters, right? The energy busters. You're playing a good game, you're in it, and all of a sudden your goaltender lets in a bad goal and your mojo goes. Your team just flatlines. And that's what happens when you don't have a goaltender that makes that big save when you need it. Now, listen, Stolarz might have a good year. That's we can't be hard on him already after one
No.
goal. he's a good goaltender. He could
Right.
have a year and a career year and be that goaltender that fills the bill. But his past and his history doesn't lead us to be confident.
I agree. You know, when you name the goalies around the league, on the East Coast, in the Eastern Conference, with Bobrovsky and Swayman and Anderson and Carolina, Shesterkin, blah blah blah. All these teams, Markstrom. They got stud goaltenders, and Binnington.
We're forgetting probably one of the best goaltenders outside of Shesterkin in the island.
Oh, with not Varlamov,
Sorokin.
So, I don't know. Maybe, well, let's see. Let's see what happens. But you really don't have a true number one goaltender.
Yeah.
And when you throw out all those names that we just threw out, and we didn't even touch on the Western Conference.
Well, it's not even that, right? It's Stolarz is their top guy, and to have to rely on a young kid for a backup is really hard. I mean, our you know, obviously we have great fans that are on our chat line all the time. We have some great comments, right? New Jersey has Markstrom and Allen. That's a great back-to-back 1-2 punch, right? Having that 1-2 punch. Boston had Swayman and Allmark for the longest time. You know, having that 1-2 punch is very, very important. Toronto doesn't have you have a punch.
And JR, I don't think Stolarz, they consider their number one. I think they're riding on Joseph Woll as their number one, and Stolarz.
Right, maybe they are. Maybe they are. Or maybe he's something in him. Maybe he can pull. If he's injury riddled, that's one thing. But maybe they see something in him, or maybe he's had a training camp that we didn't see, and they see something different. And again, but until he proves himself, until he gets in there and starts doing it, Toronto, we can't give Toronto the benefit of doubt to be right about goaltenders.
Listen, before we leave tonight, one last thing. Pittsburgh and the Rangers are playing right now. It's the 300th time that these two teams have met each other, which is an unbelievable amount of games. And I think it's pretty even. I think the Rangers have a slight edge. But first of all, how do you think Pittsburgh's going to do this year? And obviously Shesterkin's going to sign. The Rangers are up 1-0 over Pittsburgh right now. Carrick scored for the Rangers. But how do you think Pittsburgh, Sidney Crosby, he gave the hometown discount. Yeah. How do you think they're going to do this year?
I think they're going to do well. Do I think they're going to make the playoffs? It's going to be nip or tuck. I mean, they've missed the playoffs now, what, 2 or 3 years? Now,
yeah.
2 years in a row.
Two, yeah.
Now, you know Sidney Crosby is going to be on a mission. Okay? So he's going to have guys ready. You know, you're going to see his best game. There's no better professional maybe in all sports than Sidney Crosby. You have Malkin, who's closing in on some milestones, which he will probably have a good season.
Yeah.
But that city is all Pittsburgh Penguins, right? And
yeah.
I think the embarrassment of that team not making the playoffs now for 2 straight years. I mean, it's only 7 years removed from them winning a cup. And now that they're missing, you know, back-to-back playoff seasons, doesn't sit well when you still have two great players like Crosby and like Malkin. I mean, Chicago is doing the same thing, but they had Jonathan Toews and Kane. Neither of them are there anymore.
Right.
Pittsburgh still has Malkin and Crosby, so they still have the base. They still have Letang. I think they do okay, but it's really going to see how the players respond to Crosby's leadership. Right? Are they going to follow him, or are they just going to play their own game and not have the respect for Sidney and the Pittsburgh Penguins to get back to the playoffs, get that pride back into a Pittsburgh Penguins sweater?
Our Smitty, our stellar social media guy said that Walsh is no longer Igor's agent, but it was fun.
Well, I would have fired him too if he told me to turn down $11 million. I love it.
But I'm hoping for, I think Lafreniere really took Pittsburgh's playing the Rangers right now. We just touched on Pittsburgh. Lafreniere really took on the next step, another step last year. I'm looking for him to have another good year. And I think the Rangers, I think they're built to win, and they've got great coaching with Laviolette.
Rangers
well.
Gonna be really good again. Rangers gonna be good again. So, but hey, listen, good energy this week, man. Good energy. We got to bash a couple people. We got to have some fun with the new season. Talking about goaltenders. Giving our prayers to everybody down in Florida. Hopefully,
absolutely,
you're safe, and you're taking cover. Probably not watching this, but you get to hopefully watch it on a tape. Or record down the line. We hope that you're watching it, that means that you are safe. So Tim, myself, and everybody from nofilter.net wish everybody in Florida all the best and safest as this storm rolls through. That's another edition of Snipes and Stripes. Thanks to Whiskey in the Wild, Bet Online, Protected Neck Guards, and of course, my boy, Tim Peel. You want to take it out, Peely?
I'll listen. I'm excited. I'll see you this weekend here in St. Louis. The big man, you're coming in town for an autograph signing. That, I guess, that happens when you get the Hall of, when you get to sign hashtag HHOF, you get invited to a lot more things. So I'm excited to see you this weekend.
Dinner on Saturday, HHOF 2024. I'm going to write it on your napkin.
I love it.
All right,
buddy. Okay,
so,
buddy.
Thanks everybody in the chat line for joining us. And again, you guys are always so loyal to us every week. Keenan with Nick, John, everybody.
Reese.
Great stuff. Rockin' Reese, you guys are the best. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. And soon we got to be starting Snipes and Stripes Weekend Edition. Not yet, but it'll come soon. We'll see you next Wednesday. Snipes and Stripes, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Nofilter.net. You guys are the best. See you next week. Enjoy the hockey.